another week of brilliant conversation with the one and only Rahila Khan, who's talking with us on leadership of love and, you know, just getting back into track, finding your ways and how you can do your things in your own way with help from a friend. So last week we were looking at how to protect the power that is within you. And we talked about so many things. It's right there on YouTube. It's on Anchor, my podcast. You can go and listen in. You can also watch it on YouTube as well to follow up if you did not have a time to listen or to watch what the conversation was all about. So in today's conversation, we are going to look at how to make good use of that power after protecting it. Yes, we can protect our powers. We can have it with us. But how best can we put it into use? You know, we are all leaders from wherever we are seated, from wherever we are standing, from wherever you're walking. You are a leader. And a leader is only great when they put the greatness into practice. You cannot only be a great leader just by a word or maybe people saying it or reading it in books. But when you put it in practice, trying to make other leaders out of what you do, that's when you become a great leader. And this is only possible when the power that we have protected last week is put into a great use. So welcome to this conversation, Rahila.
Thank you so much, John Gara, and a very big hello to all our listeners and viewers out there from warm, sunny South Africa. How are you?
That's so great, Rahila. I hope everyone is doing good from wherever they are. Some of them, it's morning, it's afternoon, it's evening, and the universe just makes all of us a family with different timings, different languages, but we are one. We are one people, yes, made from the great power of the heavenly. So just getting us right away into this conversation, Rahila, I would just straight away ask this simple question. How do we put the power into practice?
Thank you, John Gora. That's a very powerful question. You know, you said something very powerful just a second ago when you said it could be morning, it could be evening, it could be afternoon, or whatever time it is anywhere in the world. And that is being in the now. And that is what power is all about. It's being totally present in the now. And power is something that we all have within us. And it gets obscured by whatever we have not released from our past. You know, in the previous two episodes, we spoke about that. The important thing is to clear out the internal hard drive of all our past. And what is the past? So many of us go through issues on a daily basis. And I was watching a video the other day where someone was giving tips on how to be the best salesperson, mm-hmm, and how to handle rejection. So it's all about the feelings that we experience in the moment. Understand an emotion is a very powerful energy charge. And so often an emotion like rejection or fear or anger carries a lot of energy, as you know. So when we don't release that energy, it obscures us from accessing this true power, our innate potential. So what is this innate potential? The innate potential I make reference to is love. And that is what leadership of love is all about. It all comes back to our image, our self-image. And if we don't address that throughout our lives, we will always be berating ourselves, judging ourselves, and we keep playing that tune without realizing how destructive it is. So going back to who we are is first and foremost is coming back into the flow of love in how we were created. That innate power is that which, let's just say you are this beautiful circle. And in that circle, Okay, let's just say it's a circle of light. It's glowing, it's sparkling, and it's really amazing. The vibes are very high. And you are that circle of light as God created us. Without any thought, emotion, or any beliefs that comes from the past. Can you imagine how awesome that is? How magnificent we are. But we've forgotten that over a passage of time. Because when we go back to our birthing process, our parents didn't know any better. They didn't know how to show love. They didn't know that our very essence is love. They didn't know how to talk to us when our mothers were pregnant with us in giving these powerful messages that we as mother and father have created this divine being, this magnificent being. We don't give these messages to that embryo. So coming back to the conception, you know, we spoke about this at length in the previous recordings where I spoke about the first C word, which is conception, the conception of an idea. Mm-hmm. But if we go back to the circle of light, that is our conception of re-engineering the DNA for new humanity, is that what messages can we give our internal hard drive and recreate ourselves so that the brain creates new neural pathways that allows us to access that power. And the best way to do this is to come from a place of self-acceptance, self-approval, self-love. That is the starting point. And not be so hard on ourselves and think because we grew up in a certain home or people told us things that we need to take on that story. No, we don't. In this very moment, we have choice. And my choice is to love myself. And when we direct all the love within us, that is the power that we have to ignite that spark, to make that conception of idea flow with life itself. So it's all about an energy field that we create, starting deep within ourselves, in how we re-engineer the DNA and how do we do things better. What beliefs do we carry about ourselves? So the first step is how to let go of negative belief systems. For example, I spoke about this before, but I think it's important too. Sometimes repetition is good because they say repetition is the mother of all skills. The more we remind ourselves and the more we get it right. And that is what's so beautiful about the mind, where we can repeat certain things over and over. And that is how we become who we want to become. So if we carry a belief system of, I'm too fat, every time I look at the mirror, I hate my body. Oh God, I hate my legs, or I hate my face, or I hate my nose. Can you see the self-hatred we are building? And that fuels the negativity to self-hatred. So it's about letting go of self-hatred, all the guilt, and say, I'm changing my story. I'm creating a new story. So the power within is what we do with our thoughts. How do we take a negative thought and re-engineer it and give the DNA and every cell in the body that has the intelligence to pick it up, that we say, I'm letting go of my old self, of all the self-hatred, all the guilt, and everything negative that my parents, my grandparents, or all of society, you know, have imposed on me. I let go of that. That is not who I am. My real me and my authentic self knows better now. I know that my parents didn't know any better. Society didn't know any better. I let go of that story. So at a crossroads, we are given choice. And which road would you take? The road of negativity? Or would you travel the road of positivity and optimism? So once we do that, and we keep repeating to ourselves, I am worthy of the best life. I love who I am. And when you come from a space of loving yourself, all of life conspires to bring more love to you. because you are creating from a space of love. I am love. I'm worthy of love. And everything that God has created, or the infinite intelligence has created, has come from a space of love. So that is where the beginning is. You can say the end is letting go of the old, and the beginning is the new story that we tell ourselves. And you know, John Gora, that most people are not aware that in every second to a minute, our body is generating or regenerating new cells. And every cell has intelligence. So that intelligence is that power that we can create and recreate in every given moment. How do we know this? If for any reason you hurt yourself, of course you would bleed for a bit. And whether you apply medicine onto that wound or not, guess what happens? The wound heals on its own. This body is magical, but we must truly believe that. Just by holding the thought of how you want to look, how you want to see yourself, how you envision yourself, you become that. You eat, drink, and sleep positive words about yourself, in how I love myself, how I am the best at what I do in every given moment, that whatever I did before and whatever I'm doing now, I'm doing it to the best of my ability. Don't compare yourself to anyone else, because we all on different paths, okay? So in knowing that, we keep recreating.
Wow.
And that is where you can create a whole new body. And that is where healing happens, because every cell has the potential and ability to heal the body. It's just the thoughts. What are you feeding yourself? So it starts first and foremost with very positive thoughts. Of course, nutrition is also good. It helps in how you look. They say you are what you eat. I think for me, starting off would be just breathing pure energy or oxygen. If you know that and breathe it consciously, no matter how polluted the air is, we can change things just by bringing in a higher consciousness. In every breath, you say, I'm breathing in pure oxygen. And if the mind is referencing that, guess what? The body will actually breathe in and repair itself, because it knows it's getting pure oxygen. So it's all about your beliefs that you carry. We're not talking about religious beliefs here. We're talking about simple, if you look at words, the letters, alphabet strung together gives you a sound vibration.
Mm-hmm.
I is one syllable, but it has a sound. So everything is to do with sound and vibration. So the higher your vibration is internally, the more you resonate and spin with the entire universe in that order. So the human learned how to go against the spin of the world, or the earth rather. We must learn to move in the same direction as the earth is spinning. We learn to go the opposite way, and that's why that is where the human struggle is. Because we took on negative beliefs by what everyone else told us. But the moment you change that and you start vibrating at the higher frequency energy, you immediately, your energy flows with that in congruence with that of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the flow of life. And when you're in the flow of life, that is where the internal power kicks in. Because once you know you get it right, when you overcome something like an accident or depression or some calamity or adversity, and when you come into your own power and you overcome that, you'll keep doing it because you know the recipe. And you keep trying the recipe. And if it doesn't work, like if you keep baking the vanilla cake and it keeps flopping, then you don't bake the vanilla cake, you change it to a chocolate cake. It's the same with life. You keep learning, you keep expanding, and with the new tools that we receive, we keep growing. You won't grow if you're going to remain stuck and you believe you know everything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anything. You know, there's a beautiful saying, and I want to share this, you know, about power. Never say, I have nothing. Never say, I have everything. Always say, I have something. And out of that something, I can create everything. Those are magical words, isn't it?
That's magical.
Exactly. So that is where we become co-creators. We learn from nature how to create better. And that is the power that we have as humans to create in divine orchestration, where everything that we see and experience in the earth experience is very powerful, that we see everything that God and the infinite intelligence created is actually a divine expression. Even the negative behavior becomes a divine expression because we see, we observe. Well, that's what we're meant to see and observe. And we must learn how not to take it on because we can see it's ugly. By choice, we want to see beauty in every person. So this is why we must have reverence for our politicians. We must have reverence for every person that's negative. We must have reverence for every criminal, every rapist, for every person who shows up in a dark shadow side. For that someone is teaching us how not to be like that. By choice, we will say, you know what? We can do better. Mm-hmm. And when I change and use my internal power, and change my beliefs about people, first and foremost, it starts at home with parents. If you don't like what you see in your parents, understand, parents don't know any better. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when we can awaken to that moment, we claim our power back. And we say, okay, I always teach people this in my private practice or in the outreach work, that when we look at how people are, especially parents who didn't hug us, parents who didn't speak sweetly to us, parents who might have used physical violence or physical or verbal abuse, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The awakening is for the child to see how not to be like the parent. And we let go and we drop the generational pattern pathology or generational sin, if you want to call it, and you say, okay, I know better now. This is how I'm going to be. So you map up your own life. You change the software in your internal hard drive, and you keep plunging forward, and you go forth in love. You go forth with positive beliefs, with positive thoughts, so that you can create better. And when you start creating better and living from that blueprint, you become the best exemplar for all of humanity. What greater gift is there than that? And that is what change is all about. Starts wow. in the home. You know, there's something I want to do going forward. It's just a thought I had, because mm-hmm. I recorded two CDs, and my first CD was titled EQ plus SQ is greater than IQ. Because from my own experience in this human experience, I realized, I mean, I've been to university. I've studied many different modalities of healing. I've read extensively. And what I've come to see out of my own experience is that each of us have a choice to be the best exemplar that we can be. Nobody can tell you how to be. Books can teach you. The information age is all about technology and how at the click of a button you can get all the knowledge that you want. But you can have all the degrees in the world or the PhDs, but if you're not experiencing that knowledge in helping or to create a better society, then what is the point of all that knowledge? It doesn't make sense. Because we see it all the time. I work with a lot of professionals, and I watch how these professionals, they come to me, which is great, because they're seeking help and they want to be better. is that you can be the best surgeon or the best lecturer or the best scientist, but if you go home and if you are abusing your family, then what kind of human being are you? It doesn't serve a greater purpose at all. So what we can do is how to get the balance right. In getting the balance right, we exercise our power in the different areas of our life. And the first one, for example, could be spirituality. So you can write down everything that you want to be in changing your beliefs. Again, it's not religious beliefs. My beliefs of how I want to be a spiritual being. In that, I will practice silence, I will practice mindfulness, I'll practice gratitude to be better. I count my blessings for every single thing that I have, all that the universe has given me. And that will all add up to your spiritual life together with your religion. Do you see that? The next one could be your mental well-being. How do we generate power in our mental well-being? For me, I would read 7 books a week. Most of what I teach, I've learned from reading, because it was in an inner thirst in seeking truth, in finding myself. So I read tons of books. Besides getting the best training in the world for becoming who I am today, and of course my life experiences. So your mental health or your mental well-being is very, very important as well. I also would highly recommend, and we see this so often on LinkedIn and social media, in the newspaper, or wherever we are, the number of people that suffer from mental illness. There has to be greater awareness, but also by choice. Nobody should have mental illness in the 21st century going into the 4th Industrial Revolution we have so many self-help books and information. Why would you want to be ill? And there's medicine is amazing, whether it's allopathic medicine, whether it's alternate medicine. I've used both to heal myself. So there's nothing wrong with either one. Go and get whatever that you need to help you in the moment, in the now. What is it that you're going to do? Again, it comes back to choice. So your mental well-being is extremely important. Listening to podcasts like these, listening to work, going into workshops. There's umpteen ideas. But technology, you're not short of information in how to help yourself. Correct, Jangora?
Very correct. You are very right.
And the next is your general well-being. So the next area of how you claim your power back is, how do you eat? What nutrition do you have? You don't need to be rich to eat well. You know, conscious eating is amazing. You know, I teach this to people who don't have much, who, you know, when we watch the MasterChef programs or we watch programs on YouTube or wherever, on eating properly. It's not about having the best ingredients. Mm-hmm. It's about the power of prayer and intention you put into the water. The power and intention you put into eating a chocolate changes it. It changes the consciousness of it. So you can drink water, tap water from anywhere, but if you pray upon it and say, I shift the consciousness of this water that every molecule will help every atom in my body, and what's not needed, the body will obviously throw it out. Can you see how it's mindful that you're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming back to our general well-being, is the exercise, eating, all of that gives you power. Then you look at your work life. I call it vocation. Very soon jobs will be obsolete because we're moving into the 4th Industrial Revolution. Things are changing. Certain words will become obsolete, like career and job. That's my take on it. Because the way we earn, the way we live will be completely different to how it is now in the next 10 years, perhaps. Most people will not go to a workplace. They'll create a workspace in their home or in the mountain or under the tree, because technology will allow you to do that. And it's how you're going to then take technology to make it work for you, that you don't take on so much radiation as well, that you use it, again, you use it with being very, very alert and conscious, and giving yourself that balance of meditation, of time in nature and so forth. Very important. And then we look at the vocation comes with a greater purpose and meaning. Why are you doing what you're doing? For me, what I do besides earning money from what I do, because the shift has been different from the time I was very young, that in my life's path, money is very important, but it's not going to be top priority. For me, it was the healing of the life that was priority. The healing of the body, in how we change the biology and use psychology and change the sociology. Those three words are very important for me as a leader. So first is a biochemistry, the change internal, changing the internal hard drive through inner transformational work that helps to change the psychology. And that then obviously has the most amazing impact on the sociology in how we socialize. What are we doing for a better humanity and the planet that can only come from our internal hard drive of claiming all our power back in the different aspects of our life? Of course, the next one is financial. How much money do you want? What does money mean to you? What are the beliefs? I love your podcast that you did a couple of weeks ago, and I listened to the entire thing where you had this conversation about money. Is it important? Absolutely, it's important. Materialism in the human experience is of vital importance. It's about getting the balance right. It's about changing your beliefs about money. Money is not the root of all evil. Humans are the root of all evil.
Definitely.
From their desperation and deprivation, you resort to ill means of getting money. And that's what makes it ugly. So we sing a song about the ugliness of money and finish with it. And let's change that and make it beautiful. How can we all create huge abundance to change the planet? How can we create huge abundance? Abundance is not only about money. It's health, wealth, and prosperity. Of course, money is part of the abundance that we create. Abundance is all life, creation of all life. So whatever I want for me, because I'm operating from a place of higher consciousness and awareness, I want the same for everyone. I took a five-year-old to teach me this in my private practice, and I'd like to share this case study. The parents brought this little girl to me. Their house was burgled, and the father was hit on his head with the butt of a gun by the robber. And this little kid was in session with me, and obviously I was doing the debriefing, but I do it in a very playful way. You know, with eyes open, eyes closed, the child is in therapy. And she was releasing, and I said, you know, there's something else that's bigger than us. And she said, yes, I know about God. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. So in the reframing what we do with kids, we give them a big bouquet of balloons, brightly colored balloons. And in balloon is filled with an inner resourceful state that they might think they did not have at the time of the incident. So in the reframing, I said, if God could give you a big bunch of balloons, what would have helped you at the time when this happened? And she said, I'd like God to give everyone a big balloon of everything. And I said, it's a beautiful balloon. Why would you want God to give everyone everything? She said, because if everyone had everything, then nobody would have robbed us.
Wow. That's very powerful.
There's a five-year-old. I want to write a book, you know, on all my case studies with working with children. That for me, I was astounded. And I thought, oh my God. Yet as adults, we would think, oh, we got to get that be of a person. They need to be behind bars, and we'd fly off in a rage. And here's a five-year-old who is so centered, so grounded, filled with such wisdom. And look at when we stay open to learning, even a five-year-old can teach us.
And teach us. That's very true. That's very true.
So that is, can you see how powerful that is? that it took a little kid to teach me that. And this is why I do what I do, John Gora, is based on all my case studies with this work I've been doing for over 30 years in sharing through my own experience and learning from every other person that showed up in front of me, you know, in how to embrace life, how to change my beliefs. And at that time, would you believe, we were doing this massive outreach project at correctional services, and I'm working with crime, you know, criminals. So it was quite, you know, I had to suddenly wake up and listen to this kid. And looked at crime in a different way. And I realized, you know, people resort to crime because out of desperation. And the people that attack us the more are in the greatest fear. So it's like, you know, when we in fear, we attract fear. You know, the like energy, it attracts the like energy. So desperation attracts desperation. And that is why with salespeople, when they are selling, if you're coming from a place of desperation to make a sale, you won't make it. You've got to clean that out first. Otherwise, you're going to get desperate clients who will say yes in the moment and they won't buy it from you because you don't close the deal. How do I know that? I know that from my own experience of marketing myself. You know, when you need, I need to have X amount of money, so I need to get X number of clients.
Yes.
It's all about the numbers game. And when you come from a place of desperation, you'll never close the deal. The other person will be desperate because they don't have the money to buy, but they committed to you and they don't know how to tell you no. Or some people will just tell you a flat out no, and it's difficult for us to handle the rejection. So can you see, going back, how important it is to let go of all these negative thoughts, negative feelings in the moment if something shows up or a door slams on you. Sit quietly and go inwardly and feel how it really feels. Don't lose that moment. That is where true empowerment happens. When something happens in the moment, is to pay attention to the biochemistry and say, you know what, I don't like this energy. Use your breath, sit and finish with it. Let it come and finish with it. And then reprogram. And you see how easy it is. Coming back to the other areas of our life where we claim our power back, is in our social life. We must have time for ourselves to be out with family, friends, our children, just being in nature, having a cup of coffee. Even, you know, even via technology, you and I can have a cup of coffee and just chat. It's socializing. So you don't have a physical friend to have a great time. You can hook up with anybody on LinkedIn, social media, any format of social media where you connect with somebody that you can have a great time. So all these areas of our life are extremely important to claim our power back in working in a very wholesome way. I know I spoke about it in the previous episodes. Like I said, bear with me. From time to time, I will repeat certain things, for I feel it's extremely important. Sometimes to hear things over and over. There are certain programs I did where I sat in it over 20 times, and each time I sat in the program, I learned something new. We become that sponge.
Okay. So generally, we've seen a situation where, you know, putting your power into practice is all about, you know, I can summarize it in a way of loving self. Accepting self and self-reconciliation. You have to reconcile with yourself, your past, you know, your family, your friends, and just get to love the environment you are in. And this will give you back your power, and it will be a way of putting power into practice with a positive, you know, mindset and positive road. And something that you talked about that really catch me, is like we need to start speaking about having something where we can create everything. We don't have everything and we don't have nothing. We have something. that we can use to create everything. So this is very powerful. And I think if we create our mindset towards, you know, accepting that at least whatever we have in our possession can be made or can be used to make something greater. Rahila.
Yes, that's very true. Everything starts with love, loving me in who I am. Mm-hmm. Everything is to do with self. See, I'm not saying myself, ourself, yourself. I'm saying self.
Mm-hmm.
It's a divine being, self.
Mm-hmm.
So in loving yourself first, you will love your mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to start there and love yourself in who you are, with, like I said, whether you are skinny, whether you are fat, whether you have all your hands and legs and fingers, it doesn't matter. When there's self-approval, self-acceptance, self-love, you will start loving everything around you. And love begins flowing to you. Because that's what the universe does. What you put out is what you get back. Mm-hmm. So when we start with self, John Gora, where we love every aspect of self, in your physicality, it's mind, body, and soul again. So everything to do with your physicality, humans generally don't like their own bodies. They don't like their own physicality because the mind has learned how to compare.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment the mind compares, they're suffering. So coming back to the internal hard drive in changing that, you stop the comparison. The moment the mind makes up a story and you start comparing, just see the big danger sign and stop.
Mm-hmm.
And say, no, that's my old me. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. I actually love who I am. I'm capable of doing the best that I can in every moment. So when we look at power, you use your power in every given moment. It's not about what happened yesterday, what's going to happen in the future. It's what's happening here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing is to always release the past to be in the present. Otherwise, it'll be a carryover from the past into the present. Then it's not going to help the present. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, creating those new neural pathways in the brain is the gist and the foundation of creating a new computer hard drive, human computer hard drive, that we can then go forth. Mm-hmm. Don't think you can have a vision about the future. You can visualize how you want your house to be. You can visualize how you want your work to be, how you want your body to be. It's all good. But if you think too much about the future and not being mindful right here, right now, that brings about anxiety and worry. So that's not good. So can you see how the past and the future should not impact the present?
Mm-hmm.
If you want a good future, you got to work on the present moment.
Definitely.
Self-love, self-acceptance. Here and now, I love myself. Here and now, I'm doing the best that I can. Here and now, I see myself into the future. This is how I want my life to be, but it starts happening now. It's like you're integrating the past and the future into the present. Or are they integrating the future into the now? So it starts happening now. And that's how you start creating.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to share, John, is when we start loving ourselves, you know, I said all of life conspires to love you. You only find loving people around you because you're exuding love. What will you get back? You're only going to get back love. So when you start feeling that way, when we start loving ourselves and appreciating ourselves and acknowledging who we are, we're not seeking acknowledgement from anyone else except mm-hmm. self. Then you start feeling love for the plants, the tree. We start feeling love for life itself. We love the river. We'd love our parents. We'd love our friends more. You start, the more love you'll feel, can you see how hatred has no space in your life anymore? It's gone. Because where is your focus? Your focus is on love. And you began loving, you begin loving everything around you. You'll even love that old couch that you sat on, which you didn't like before, because somehow you'll have gratitude for it.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's very important in how we exercise our power by just observing our thoughts. You become the silent observer, as it were. The more you observe yourself, the more you begin observing others. And the more you observe yourself, the more you work on yourself mm-hmm. in how to be better. And in you becoming better, you stop seeing the negative in the other.
That's powerful, Rahila. That's very powerful.
Yeah. Something else, very quickly, sorry to interject, but I didn't want to lose the thought. It's
Go
the
on.
Same with fear. You know, there's a saying, fear is a dark room where negatives are developed.
Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. What a wonderful word over there.
Exactly.
That's very powerful.
I read that somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it stuck, you know, and I'm sharing it today. It just came out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. I love it because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So you can choose to be the dark room mm-hmm. or you could choose to be the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to be the sun.
That's very wonderful and powerful, Rahila. And I believe, you know, I was listening keenly in what you're talking about, and you know, the more I listen, the more I reflect back into my life as a whole, because I realize that if at all, for real, we would not focus on self, developing self, and, you know, accepting what we are made of and the kind of environment we are in, we would not be what we are today. Because, you know, when I look back to our past, there was some of the hardship we went through that we would have avoided, you know, by other people coming in. You understand? Because the power was not in our hands. We were not able to create that smooth path. It was on somebody else's hand. But now, if we start blaming those people, you know, and sticking with it in head that if it wasn't not for my parents, I would not suffer. If it wasn't not for my brothers, I would not suffer. If it wasn't because of this lady, I would not suffer, you know, it starts to develop an energy that is of negativity, and you lose your path, you lose your power, you really completely put it into somebody else. And instead of, you know, now starting to develop yourself to get back your power and, you know, start to straighten your way, you get lost into thinking about other people, into thinking about what people did for you, into thinking about what you are not given when you are young, into thinking
yes.
about what your parents never did for you, but other parents did to their kids, thinking about, like, in a relationship, thinking about what your partner did not give, but
yes.
other people are giving, you know. So the power that we have can only be put in practice when we get into self-development, self-acceptance, and self-reconciliation, just like the way you put it, Rahila.
100%. You know, at a deeper level, that's mm-hmm. what we call soul lessons. Every person that you meet or your parents met before, mm-hmm. where struggle, adversity happened, or whatever mm-hmm. happened, was for a greater divine purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we can only have gratitude. Every negative person that showed up in our life, I wouldn't say a negative person, I would say a difficult personality or mm-hmm. a negative personality with a dark shadow side. Because I believe every person has a beautiful soul. Every person comes from a divine source energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the human being, it's a personality that the human being has taken on.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can differentiate between that, the divine self and the personality, we are not our personality. We are not our behavior. You know, when I did this work at Correctional Services, we were working with hardened criminals. And they couldn't understand why, as practitioners, we would go and be and work with them. Because they were put away in a very dark place and forgotten. And here we were as a band of practitioners where we went in and our purpose was to liberate the soul experience. Mm-hmm. And through the sessions when we worked with them, they came to see that they are beautiful divine souls. Their souls were liberated with the work that we did. Because we made them see that we all come from God. Their past experiences led them to be where they are, that they are not their behavior. They are not the personality. They are more than that. And that is what freedom does. Mm-hmm. That is what liberating humanity's potential is about. We cannot label and put people away. Mm-hmm. They are more than that. We bring that out. And then they discover the latent genius. And then so often from them just being in the cell, being isolated, not wanting to socialize, mm-hmm. we found these inmates eventually began attending the spiritual classes. They began going to the workshops to do sewing, or they engaged in different activities because they could see that they have this one life. They mm-hmm. made the wrong choices. They accepted where they were. But the most important thing was acceptance of self.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them the best freedom ever. So they could be confined to a space, but they are free inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what liberating humanity's potential is all about. And that is my mission and purpose and passion in liberating humanity's potential.
Definitely. That was a very powerful and great talk, Rahila. And I'll appreciate every second that we always have together, Rahila, in this conversation. And I guess if you're following this conversation from where it started, when we started explaining about what exactly is the power and how to secure and safeguard the power that is bestowed on you or on self. And now today we are seeing how we can put that power into use by basically developing self, believing in self, you know, loving self, and as well as reconciling. And, you know, reconciliation is a very powerful part of this conversation because most of us are taken away by the past. And, you know, this is always the very difficult part of human life revolution. We fail to revolutionize ourselves and, you know, put ourselves into a better place because of those things that stick in us from inside, that are affecting us because of what was done or not done. And, you know, we blame others. We blame even the earth itself. Some of us go ahead into blaming even God himself. And, you know, as long as we are not reconciling with ourselves and we are not getting the inner meaning of why we are still alive, then life is going to be miserable. And this is put very clearly with what you have talked about here, Rahila, and telling us, you know, how to get self-love, self-acceptance, and also living a positive road, having something where you can create everything. And, you know, the powerful message about fear being a room where darkness can be formed and all that. So it was a powerful one, and I really appreciate you having this time with us every week, Rahila. And I hope that we are going to continue with this, and next week we are going to have a powerful conversation as well to just re-engineer our software and the system so that we can be better in this world that we are living free of charge. You know, we have oxygen, we have smiles that we can give to each other free of charge. We're not paying for it.
That's right.
So
you know,
I
just want to conclude by saying mm-hmm. that the ego will convince us mm-hmm. that we are missing something or that we need something to feel love.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can, you know, to feel love, to feel success, or to feel complete. The ego will, you know, convince you that you need something to complete that. But actually, no. All you need is love. Love is a gateway to wisdom.
That's powerful again. And that's a very great conclusion there. And I can attest to that. Ego of, you know, thinking that I can only do this when I have this, you know. And I've always told everyone about my podcast. You know, when I talked first with Corey, we had a conversation with Corey Warfield, and he was the one who introduced me to podcasting. And, you know, I was like, how do I even just start that podcasting? And he told me, do you have a mobile phone? Yes. So what are you waiting for? You don't have to buy a mic. You don't have to buy a processor. You don't have to, you know, have a great looking thing. You just need the content and the message and pass it across to people. You can record anything. You know, podcasting is not about the system that you're using. It's about the content and the message that you're giving to the people outside there. And therefore, don't have the ego that I need a microphone to make this possible, that I need a powerful processor to make this powerful. You should believe that whatever you have, it is something that can create everything. Very powerful, Rahila.
Yes, and you have so much love to give that, you know, God and the infinite, or the infinite intelligence, makes it possible. See how it conspired to do this with us. I mean, I didn't know last year that I'll be doing this with you this year. You know, I mean, we started the process last year. But what I'm saying, who would have thought that we would have connected?
Nobody.
Exactly. So everything comes from love. Can you see that? How we can create something from nothing, and something to create everything. And that is so simple. You just need love, and love will do it all.
And that's the power that you're talking about.
Absolutely. That's the inner power.
It was wonderful to have you, Rahila. Thank you so much for every second and minute that we've spent together. And we hope to see you again next week.
Thank you so much, Rangara. Have a lovely day. And bye to the listeners. Take care now.
Take care too. And thank you so much, our listeners, for taking your time as well to listen to this podcast. As usual, always will bring you this, and it is free for, you know, your developments and also inner self, looking into your inner self to re-engineer your system of thoughts, and also, you know, to just get back your path to way of that greatness, because each one of us wants to see something different in life. Therefore, I take it back until we meet again next week. Thank you so much, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel so that you get this information each and every time that they drop. Bye-bye for now. Thank you so much for choosing One Talk Podcast and listening to today's message. I hope you subscribe not to miss any episode that comes each and every week. We'll drop it right here to inspire not only you, but the world over. One Talk, the world unites.